This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, let's roll on Wednesday afternoon. This is Sharp Money. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That is the very attractive man to my right, Amal Shaw. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, hanging out at the D Fremont Street, downtown Las Vegas. Come stop by, buy me a drink, buy Amal a water, whatever you want to do. It's an interesting day here in the football landscape. Why, Amal? It is day two of part two of the Zach Wilson era for the New York Jets.
I was expecting to see Brady already in New York and signed.
Yeah, when we left the show yesterday, Diana Rossini was reporting that the Jets were going to look at all veteran quarterbacks that they could potentially add to their quarterback room. Didn't necessarily say that they would immediately start over Zach Wilson, but you figure if they're going to go out and make a move like that, they're going to get someone who would be the guy eventually. However, this morning, your dream and my dream died very quickly as Rossini followed up on her report and said that it will not be Tom Brady. He's comfortable in his retired life in the offseason.
I don't doubt that, but you know what? An opportunity there. This is a great defense. This might be as good of a defense as he had in New England.
I agree.
And better than the one he had in Tampa, but you know what? The Jets are going to have to make do with Zach Wilson. Let's see how it plays out going forward. Great opportunity for him, potentially against the best defense he's going to face all season long in his first start of the year. Let's see if he can show up and show out for the Jets.
Well, we're going to find out quickly, right? Yeah. We're going to find out if there were progressions made while he was learning for the few weeks he was under Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, credit to Aaron Rodgers. He was involved in a lot of the Jets offseason, which maybe could benefit Wilson. I thought you had an interesting opinion on the situation yesterday on the show. You said that you thought if Zach Wilson could just be a game manager, things could work out for this Jets team. 24 hours later, do you still feel that way?
Why would my opinion change in 24 hours? He didn't play and have a bad performance.
Sometimes you reevaluate things. Sometimes you look back, you know what? I'm questioning here, but the Jets believe what you believe, right? The Jets are following the same school of thought. They kind of think that Zach Wilson could be a guy to get things done here.
You made a point yesterday, which is the pressure is off of him. And I think
totally. He's
going to approach it from that standpoint. If he can do that, he can be very effective. To me, when I look at this Jets team, they've got the pieces defensively. They've got the pieces on offense. The question is that quarterback on the offensive line. I know people will put the blame on Rodgers on that or the offensive line, but the reality was it was a quick three-step drop. He was supposed to get rid of the football, held on to it a little bit longer than he was supposed to, and all those things culminated in injury. One other thing, I don't know if it's because they play two teams at the Meadowlands, but these guys should go to natural grass in New York.
Oh, no, it's a big issue, and the NFLPA released a statement yesterday trying to claim, and you're probably good at this stuff, trying to claim that there's no evidence to support there's more injuries on turf. I have to tell you, there are a lot of situations leaving specifically MetLife Stadium where players walk away injured, and it's really basic. Like, you don't even have to be that smart to understand it. There's concrete under the turf that the field turf they're using, and with grass, there's mud, so there's give when you hit it.
There's no question about it, and you know, to me, this should be a sticking point. The players' union always seems to acquiesce on the dumbest things. Why don't you stand up for what's important to the players in terms of injury? And if you can't figure out a way, look, we've got indoor stadiums with grass. NRG in Houston has one of the best grass fields in all of sports.
Arizona,
anywhere.
They wheel it out.
Arizona's got a beautiful grass field. I mean, how could you not have this? And look, if that's the problem, every city seems to waste a billion to $2 billion on stadiums. Have them build a separate stadium.
How about this? Shouldn't cost us anything, but these NFL franchises, they go up millions and billions of dollars every few years. They can absolutely afford it. It's not an issue. They can, like, the thought of turf to save money for a professional franchise is irrelevant to me. Also, from the soccer world, we have Cristiano Ronaldo over here now. Yeah. He's refusing to play soccer on any turf fields. Every single field he goes to has to install grass. I think that speaks volumes. And I just think that all these franchises, it's irrelevant the cost for them because they'll keep their players healthy and on the field.
Oh, it's a no-brainer. You're absolutely right about what you just said there in reference to Ronaldo not wanting to play on turf as opposed to grass. To me, it's amazing you're going to spend $200 million on salaries for your team, your most important piece. Aaron Rodgers at $40-plus million a year. You got him playing on a field turf. He's 40 years old. This is a no-brainer. But then again, the players' union in the NFL is the dumbest union in the four professional sports, so it shouldn't come as much of a surprise to me.
Oh, Roger Goodell's on ESPN right now. We'll hear some quotes from that in a little bit, I'm sure, defending the fact that...
Let me ask you a question. Do you think these questions are coming like softball-style pitch, underhand, or is it coming off of a tee?
Okay, so I've been in the situation before where I have worked for league-partnered situations where you have to ask the hard question... But they know that the question is coming. You don't necessarily have to tell them that, but you just kind of give them a heads up. Overall, these are the themes we're going to look at. And then him and his team have a prepared statement that he has to memorize to spit out later.
Let me tell you something. Goodell makes $60 million a year. If they ask him his Social Security number, he should acquiesce.
All right, well, let's hear from Robert Saleh, because he was back meeting with the media kind of post the post game that we heard from yesterday. His first question was about their quarterback situation in New York.
We are going to look through some things, but I do want to make it very clear. Zach's our quarterback. We got a lot of faith in Zach. We're really excited about his opportunity. But we're rolling with Zach and excited for this, excited for him. And like I said, this opportunity that he's going to get.
See, it's always important to hear the quote, not just read the quote, because he said we're excited, but the tone of his voice did not sound excited about the situation.
I don't know if that guy was contemplating making his next phone call to his real estate agent to sell his house because he's going to get fired after going 4-13, or what the situation was. That did not sound convincing to me that this guy believes in Zach Wilson and Zach Wilson believes in himself.
We said Zach Wilson, the pressure's off. Is the pressure off on Robert Saleh a little bit?
I don't know. You know, as a head coach, the time is finite. They kind of got in bed with Zach Wilson here. They've got to make a decision long-term, you know, because... You expect Rodgers to want to come back, don't want to end his career in a situation like that. But, I mean, 40 years old, going through that rehab on a torn Achilles, that's very tough. It's not easy.
Oh, no. And look, he's not like a quick, twitchy guy, so I think the recovery will be different than some of those guys that need the explosiveness. So I do expect him to, if he wants to, come back. But Robert Saleh, we just heard from there, sounded like a guy at a funeral, honestly. But he told the media, this isn't the Jets obituary.
I don't know why people are trying to put an obituary under our team name. You know, Aaron is an unbelievable piece to this whole thing, and we love him. But I think there's 52 other guys in the locker room, plus the 16 practice squad guys that believe that we can do a hell of a lot of good things here. And you know, we got championship caliber defense. We got great skill guys on the offensive side of the ball. Our O-line is going to continue to gel and get better, but. We're excited about our group. We've worked hard over the last couple of years, players, coaches, scouts, GM, building a pretty cool organization. And so there's still a lot of faith in the locker room on the things that we can still accomplish this year. So it's while the outside world can go ahead and write whatever story they want to write, there's still the true story being written in this building. So,
all right, Amal, that was Robert Saleh talking about the Jets and they're not being left for dead. You're a sales guy. Long history and track record of being good at sales. It sounds like Robert Saleh is trying to not just sell the media, but sell himself of what he's saying. How would you approach that pitch a little bit? Like, look at the camera, pitch the media, pitch the Jets fans, pitch the public, why the Jets are not left for dead right now.
First of all, we've got the best defense in the National Football League. You could tell his voice inflection raised when speaking on his defense. There was an affinity there that was missing when he described Zach Wilson. I would have just come out and said, look, I wouldn't have said anything about Zach Wilson. I would have just said, we believe in this football team. We've got 53 men and 16 on the practice squad. We're going to play great football, and we're going to rally together as a unit. It doesn't matter what everybody outside of this facility says, and that's how we're going to take it and go forward from there. I'm telling you, maybe I'm being
dumb. You sounded way more passionate than he did about what he was trying to get across.
Because he's got a guaranteed salary, and I've got the Jets to win the division. There's a difference. And so when you look at it from that perspective, mine's at a much greater peril than his is. He's going to get paid next week, and he's going to get paid the week after. I've got to hope Zach Wilson delivers. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know, and I'm being sincere here when I say this, I don't know if I'm being naive that I believe in Zach Wilson. Just to me, the fact that when you look at this team and he had to sit behind Rodgers, I think the kid's smart enough to realize, hey, this is my one opportunity here. If he doesn't seize this, this guy is going to become like Josh. Who was the kid? Josh Rosen out of UCLA, yeah. Right? He had opportunity and opportunity, didn't necessarily capitalize on it. When do you get a second chance at a first impression in the same marketplace? It's so rare.
Yeah. I guess the only concern I would have is that the second chance is happening immediately after the first chance. There really wasn't much of a break, maybe mentally, but there really wasn't much of a break there.
You're not wrong. However, he assumed that Rodgers was going to be the guy, but he learned from Rodgers potentially or hopefully how to prepare. And if he took that to heart, he implies that now you come in, you have a chance. You've got an all-pro level receiver. You've got a team that's gotten better. Mekhi Becton's back in the lineup. As long as he stays injury-free with Dwayne Brown at the tackles, they're in pretty good position. This defense, I tell you right now, they're playing 16 more games. I'll ask you, including the Dallas game, set the over on the under on the number of games they allow 21.5 points or more.
Oh, man. Well, they do have the Chiefs, but it's in New York.
Yep.
And let's be real, the Chiefs looked a little bit rusty, and that's only in a couple weeks. They have Denver, who's not going to score. Philly, I don't know how much they're scoring these days. Obviously, the Giants, are the Chargers and Buffalo and Miami, maybe once or twice.
I would say maximum three times teams are going to put up 22 points or more against this team. And to me, when you look at that good of a defense in the National Football League, you should be winning those types of games. I know the schedule is hard. You look at, of course, you mentioned the Cowboys and Chiefs coming up. But they can take care of business against the Broncos. The Eagles are at home. They get a bye week. Then you get at the Giants. I mean, what a great road game. That's not even a road game,
it's,
right?
It's probably the biggest cheat code road game in the whole schedule game.
Absolutely. And then you're at the Raiders on Sunday Night Football. You get that revenge game against Buffalo. This team owns Buffalo, it feels like, right now from the defense standpoint. Last year, they held them to 17 points. Monday Night Football, they hold them to 16 points. All I'm saying is let Zach Wilson. If I'm Zach Wilson, I just sit there and go out there and play like I'm an uninsured motorist. Just go out there and start hitting cars. It doesn't make a difference.
All right. If I'm going to be fair, you sold me a little bit. I'm kind of coming all the way over. I was in the middle, but I'm starting to come over and believe in Zach Wilson.
Help me help you. What's it going to take for you to believe the Jets are going to the Super Bowl?
Do we believe in these quarterbacks? Can they take their teams to a Super Bowl? We'll dissect next. Judge, jury, executioner at Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best ever by becoming a VSIN Pro subscriber. You can get full access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSIN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus you get betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up for a VSIN annual subscription, and you'll get a free copy of Michael Lombardi's new book, Football Done Right. Just use promo code Lombardi when you sign up. If you'd like an autographed copy of the book, just email us at subscribe@vsin.com. This is a limited time offer. Sign up today, vsin.com/subscribe. Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Amal Shaw with me at the D downtown Las Vegas. We were just discussing Zach Wilson taking over for the Jets. Led me to a little project last night that I called Amal about. I was like, you know what? We need to figure out, and this can help us with some futures betting, how many quarterbacks can actually win a Super Bowl in the NFL right now? Like, where are they? So we're going to put them into three categories. There's going to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. We'll kick things off with the list, the executioner. These are the ones that cannot win a Super Bowl. So, other order guys. Yeah, there we go. I was surprised when I looked at your list, Amal, that we have more crossover than I anticipated, but I have a bunch of names on this list. One of them has won a Super Bowl in Russell Wilson.
Yep.
But the rest of them have not. Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, Zach Wilson, Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill, Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder. Am I being egregious and putting anyone on that list that does not deserve to be there that cannot win a Super Bowl?
Well, you've got 11 guys on there. I've got 9 on the list. I don't.
Oh, I was harder than you.
Yeah, I did not have on my list, I did not have Tannehill, even though I'm not a big fan of his. I thought in the situation he could be effective enough where they could potentially win. But just to read some of the names that you and I crossed over on, Mac Jones, Russell Wilson,
yep.
Sam Howell. I had Daniel Jones, Justin Fields, Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith. And, you know, I was going to reserve.
So you already put Jordan Love on yours.
Oh, yeah. I watched him play. I don't agree with what people were saying about him on Sunday.
I'm lower than most on him, but I'm actually shocked that you're actually lower on Jordan. I think he's still in that TBD category. It's not really fair to judge him at the moment.
Tell you one thing. I know the Bears won and they played well, but there were a lot of receivers you could have hit that were open for for the Packers.
I did watch some clips, though, of the touchdown specific. I thought his presence was really good. He was very calm in the pocket. I liked the way his feet were still, and he planted when he threw with confidence. Like I thought there were aspects I liked. I still am doubting what his ceiling is. I think I lean more towards your side, but I'm not ready to completely say no at this point.
When you look at that division and why I believe the Packers are going to win this division is because there are three other teams who don't necessarily match up to what Green Bay is at the other 21 positions. That's where the Packers' advantage is. He put up these statistics against, what, the 32nd-ranked defense from last year?
No, it's true. It's a very fair point.
It's not like he was out there doing it against the Cowboys, the Niners, or the Jets. So I'm not necessarily going to back him. I think the plus price at 240 is still a good one on the Packers. I don't understand why the Vikings are plus 650. I mean, they're sitting there right in the obit of the Vikings. And this team lost one game. It was a competitive game. It could have really gone either way had they gotten one additional stop. Detroit does have the win. Good win for them on the road. But again, that was a shorthanded Kansas City Chiefs team. And if we're being realistic, and I think Dan Orlovsky said it on ESPN, I heard him say, he goes, the Lions played a C game.
Yeah, and they're still the Lions. Like, there's a lot for them to prove before we should be buying into them completely the way a lot of people are. They were everyone's darling of the offseason. But the Lions still have a ton of holes. The defense was really bad last year. The offense kept them in games, but like it's still Jared Goff under center. Like there are limitations to where you can go that way.
No, there's no question about it. And I think that's why you and I, when we look at the quarterbacks we have on here, made the list. One name I did not throw out to you, and I'm going to now.
Okay.
I wanted him in a separate category, and that's Desmond Ridder. I mean, dude, this guy is so bad.
You are taking like the mean things I say about people and like taking it to another level.
You know what? They have talent on that team. Between Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier, they've got a great, great play caller in Arthur Smith. This guy is a top five play caller in the National Football League.
Kyle Pitts. To your point, he won games with Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, he won games with Ryan Tannehill. I mean, the point is, he's got playmakers on the perimeter, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. These guys are absolute dudes, okay?
Yeah.
And now you've got a guy that just refuses to throw the ball down the field. He makes Zach Wilson's 9-yard outs look like deep throws.
No, they're the team that is a quarterback away, truthfully. Like, the next big veteran quarterback that becomes available walks into that situation and everything changes for that franchise. But let's go back to our list. So your list there, who cannot win the Super Bowl. Yep. We both have Geno Smith on there, which I like. You and I are lower on Geno Smith than most of the people in the betting market. A lot of people talk themselves into Geno Smith after one season of starting and spending multiple years on the bench, only having thrown a few passes between the last like 4 or 5 years. They convince themselves Geno Smith's the guy who can take the Seahawks deep into the playoffs. I need to see it before I believe it. And I need to see a lot more before I believe it.
Completely agree with you. Look, I saw this guy play at West Virginia a ton. I liked him in college. I thought he was a good college quarterback. But doesn't make you an NFL quarterback. And that's exactly the problem right now when you look at Geno Smith. People, you know, here's what I don't understand. We have an absolute problem at our network. Everyone talking about regression. How come the Seattle Seahawks don't get credited with having just a fluke season when they were expected to be a bottom to five team? They win 4 games against an injury-riddled Rams team and, combined with that against the other two against the Cardinals, 4 wins there. And now all of a sudden this team loses to the Rams without arguably their best player in Cooper Kupp, an offensive threat, former offensive player of the year. And the Seahawks team, we're supposed to believe, is supposed to challenge the San Francisco 49ers, who went in there and left an absolute tire mark on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I completely agree with you there. Geno Smith, he's not the issue necessarily there, but he's not going to be the thing that takes them over the top. Let's get to our next list here. This might have to roll over into two segments. We'll go with the jury. The jury is still out on these quarterbacks. We can start with either yours or mine. There's a lot of carryover there between the two lists. I struggled with a few of these guys.
I'm going to give you mine at the top, the first name I put down there. I was actually going in division order. Zach Wilson, because I believe in the Jets. These players that I selected were based upon their teams and their current situation, not if they got traded to the Kansas City Chiefs or if they went somewhere else.
So I looked at it a little different. I went like, in a vacuum, this player, can he win a Super Bowl?
I went with based on the way their current team is constructed. I wasn't completely sure. Kenny Pickett's still on a good team. I know you're not as high on Kenny Pickett as maybe I am. He didn't look great on Sunday. Some question marks there. Anthony Richardson, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, three guys on the list, rookies, too early to tell. Ryan Tannehill, I'm going to tell you, Jimmy Garoppolo would have been on my executioner list, but I'm telling you, I raised him. I was just impressed with throws he made, plays he made. If he's in the right situation, and if you've got a coach that believes in him, because Shanahan apparently didn't in San Francisco, Jared Goff, he's been to a Super Bowl, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Kyler Murray.
So, looking at your list, I just don't buy Kenny Pickett's arm. I don't think he can throw you to wins. He actually has weapons. Like, he has playmakers. They're just not an explosive offense. I don't see what everyone else sees. I think everyone sees a guy that looks like an athletic miniature version of these other quarterbacks we like. He can run a little. He has a little bit of accuracy. But I just don't think he has the power and the playmaking ability to win you football games. That's why I'm a little bit lower on him than you. All right, we'll throw up my list here because I have Dak Prescott here, and I know that's going to be an issue for people. I am not as high on Dak Prescott as everyone else.
I'm not high on Dak Prescott, but let me tell you.
You're in situation.
Dak Prescott's got a team around him that it's like, bro, just drive the car, don't crash it.
So had I thought about it your way, this is really going to upset people. Yeah. Derek Carr wouldn't be in this list for me. Derek Carr would be in the next section for me because I think Derek Carr in the current situation, I think they can win a Super Bowl once they get into a flow and get a rhythm on offense.
Well, they get Alvin Kamara back. Chris Olave goes for 100 yards on Sunday. Michael Thomas returns. They're effective. They've got to have the running game be consistent. Their defense is an elite, elite defense. You know what? I keep talking about the Jets, Cowboys, and 49ers. I don't know how I leave out New Orleans. When you look at the last 10 games of the regular season last year, they were the best defense in the National Football League.
And I like because they can hit you at every level. There's no weak spots in that defense. Great secondary, good linebackers, really good up front. Obviously, Cam Jordan's been there forever. Like, they have guys in every level of that defense.
And not to mention, look, they would have only given up 12 points had Mike Vrabel made the right coaching call on Sunday to go for it on fourth down and six or seven, whatever it was, against the Saints with 2 minutes and change to go.
So we both have Jimmy G in this section. I still have Justin Fields here, but I'm leaning more towards the bottom, and it's not because of him. I still think it's coaching staff's not understanding how to use some of these guys, and it's really disappointing to see.
Hold on. Not understanding would imply or suggest there might be some sort of inkling or understanding of what the hell they're doing there in Chicago. Matt Eberflus.
It's the most lost cause we've seen this season. So, like, I know it's only 1 week, but, like, carry over from last year, it looks like a lost cause situation at head coach.
It's like when Greg Giraldo, during one of those roasts, said,
R.I.P.
Yeah, a great comedian. He talked about Larry the Cable Guy. He goes, how are you so popular? How does Matt Eberflus make this much money being this stupid in life?
Well, let's see how many quarterbacks are popular on our judge list. How many quarterbacks can actually win a Super Bowl? That's next. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you looking to be a better bettor? Of course you are. And tens of thousands of people have already turned Juice Reel, that's right, Juice Reel, in the App Store, not a sports book, to help them beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all of your betting history, and gives you analytical edges backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. Use the data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool, Juice Reel. That's juice, like orange juice, and reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free. Download Juice Reel to your iPhone or Android device today and become a better bettor. It's Sharp Money. I'm Amal Shaw to my right. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D downtown Las Vegas, hanging out here looking at some quarterback situations. We're trying to do an exercise here. Look at the quarterbacks around the NFL and how many at this moment can actually win you a Super Bowl. We had a couple differences in our judge, jury, and executioner in the latter two, where guys that are still to be judged and guys that we already think can't win a Super Bowl. So that leaves us with a group left here of who can win a Super Bowl. My list is one shorter than Amal's. I'm actually surprised that Amal is more optimistic than I am about players who can win a Super Bowl.
I've got 12 guys on the list. Josh Allen, Tua, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, who you did not have, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, and I don't think you had him on this list, Brock Purdy?
I actually do have Brock Purdy in this list.
Okay.
So the only difference we have is Dak Prescott.
I think that's
really interesting when you look at it. A couple of notes that I think are surprising. We're both in on Deshaun Watson, and I think a lot of people might still have questions. I don't.
What is there to question? He played poorly last year after taking a year and a half off. Actually, what, 16 and then 11 games or 17 and 11 games? So 27, 28 games he missed. Played poorly in that first game. Part of it was weather. I mean, Joe Burrow had the second lowest yards per attempt in a game in the history of the National Football League, only behind Vince Ferragamo.
Oh, and it was brutal. And, in fact, Evan Washburn, going to join us in the next segment, CBS Sports sideline reporter, he felt it all too well, the weather in that game. He was on the sidelines for it. And I don't think he brought his rain gear with him.
It's okay. He'll survive.
So, to your point, no, that's fair. But I think there are some people who still question Watson in a winning situation and how things turn out. Another guy you and I already have on this list is Trevor Lawrence. Some people are still judging whether he can be that guy. I've seen enough. He can absolutely win you a Super Bowl right now.
Well, let me ask you a question. Was it the game against Indianapolis that did it for people, or was it the fact that he played well last year?
Well, there's playing well, and there's doing it once. But I'd say anything you judge from his rookie year, you can't, because Urban Meyer was in charge of the Jaguars then. As soon as he got rid of Urban Meyer, things completely took off for him and the team. He also makes big-time throws and big-time moments, and he wants to make those plays when they matter.
Well, if you're going to have Tua on the list, then isn't Trevor Lawrence an automatic?
So that was my next one. You and I believe Tua is a guy you can absolutely win a Super Bowl with. I think you, more from the situation, I think Tua in most situations can win a Super Bowl. I think the skill set is there.
No, I believed in Tua since the kid came out of Honolulu, St. Louis.
I believed when he came out of his mother's womb.
That's fair, but here's the thing. I called it on air when I was doing the show with Musburger. I said, Brent, you got only one option here. Does Saban have the guts to go to the backup? And he goes, oh, stop it. And you know what? Hey, Brent, I was right. But the bottom line is, when you look at this team, they've got two number one receivers in Waddle and, of course, Tyreek Hill. The question is, can this defense be good enough? I think they can score enough points. I don't know if they'll be able to do that against elite teams that have a defense like the Jets. Like, when this team faces off against New York, I can't wait to see it. Because Sauce Gardner going up against Tyreek Hill is going to be must-see TV. I believe in Tua regardless of the team. For me, it's not about the Miami Dolphins. I'm not a big believer in the Miami Dolphins as much as other people are. They're a good football team. I still don't think they're the class of the AFC East the way other people see them.
And you've already gotten down on it.
Well, I got the Jets.
Yeah, but did you not get down on the Dolphins too now, or no?
No, I did not. That was a friend of mine who took the Dolphins.
Okay.
Before the season.
So basically, from this exercise, I just want to kind of evaluate the info we've got here. Essentially, we agree on 11 guys. There's also a 12th in Dak Prescott that if you pulled my arm, I might come to your side. I just think he's a very overrated quarterback who benefits a lot from situations where his team's down and he's throwing in the second half. I think a lot of his numbers have been skewed that way. I don't buy Dak like others, but I can see the talent that's there and him potentially getting there.
I think Dak Prescott benefits from having the fourth best edge rusher in the National Football League,
yes.
Micah Parsons, a great defense, two running backs last year that combined to go over 800 yards apiece in Pollard and Zeke Elliott, who's now in New England. And then you look at the receivers. Michael Gallup finally back healthy. We know what CeeDee Lamb is capable of. I like this team, the talent that's there, the offensive line. Zach Martin's going to Canton.
Dak Prescott to me is an elevated game manager. He's a little bit more than a game manager to me. I don't buy him the way other people do. He made a ton of mistakes a year ago, threw more picks than anyone in less games. And I think they play their best when his shots are limited.
I would agree with you, and I always thought Dallas made a mistake in signing Dak to a long-term contract.
See, that's right. So I'm going to talk out of both sides here. There wasn't a better option, and if you believe he's a franchise quarterback, then you're obligated to pay him because it's too difficult to start over. It's like, look, Amal, you don't break up with the supermodel because you don't know what's on the other side of freedom.
Maybe, but there might be another supermodel.
But there might not be.
That's true. But you got to roll the dice
sometimes.
You might
be hanging out with me at the D.
You know what? I can make every situation work out in a positive manner. But look, here's my point, though. You just said yourself you don't believe you can win with Dak Prescott. They've got an elite team. Okay, let's take a look real quick in the NFL. The San Francisco 49ers, without question, have the best 21, minus the quarterback position. Right? It's not even close.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, who's second on that list?
It might be the Dallas Cowboys.
That's my point.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys are probably right there. Defensively, I'll go with the Jets.
But you're assuming that there's another guy. Like, the evaluation of the quarterback position in the NFL is the single hardest thing out there. And to be in a situation where you can get one of those guys, especially when you're a team that has all those other pieces, so you're going to play too well to draft a guy high in the draft to be that next franchise quarterback. And then the chances to sign a free agent, they never become on the market. These guys are always signing record-setting deals, so there's never a chance to add that guy in free agency.
No, you're not going to get him in free agency. The players, for some reason, decide to stay with their teams. I would, if I was a free agent quarterback, there's only one team I'd go play for. That's the Dallas Cowboys.
You subscribe to America's team.
It's not that I subscribe to America's team. I see a guy, because I covered Tony Romo in Dallas. He was an anti-media guy, and somehow this guy's allowed to steal $180 million, being an absolute just useless interview. And my point is, listen, think about this. This is why you play for the Dallas Cowboys. Michael Strahan is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame if he didn't play for the New York Giants. If he played for the Kansas City Chiefs or the Minnesota Vikings, he's not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The reason why Daryl Johnston's the top three guy in the broadcast booth is because he played for the Cowboys. You don't see Lorenzo Neal out there calling games, do you? If you play for the Cowboys, you get opportunities you don't get elsewhere. You think Troy Aikman is going to be the guy on Monday Night Football if he didn't play for the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, your motivation, the NFL is a league where the average career is 3 years. These guys don't make decisions based on what am I going to do after football. That's where I'm going to go. Their goals are to have a legacy on the field, to potentially win rings, but ultimately make the most money possible.
I don't dispute that, but you're going to make money. But here's the thing. You get done playing football, unless you're Tom Brady, which is an aberration. You said it. Most guys' careers are less than 4 years. Let's say you have an extended career and it goes 10 to 12 years. How old are you? 34, 36 years old? Do you not want to look at potential options you have? Being in Dallas, you pay no state income tax in 8 or 9 games, depending the number of home games. Maybe you get the Texans on the schedule that year as a road game, so now 9 times you don't pay state income tax. You get the benefit for playing for America's team. Listen, people get opportunities because they play for the Dallas Cowboys. There's a reason why people want to play for the Lakers, the Yankees, and the Cowboys. You can love them, you can hate them, it doesn't make a difference, but the benefits of playing for this team. The Cowboys are on national TV to open the season against the Giants. Daniel Jones, the only way he should be on Sunday Night Football is if he's in the crowd and they pan over and say, hey, that guy looks like a guy who played for the Giants once. That guy should not be on Sunday Night Football to kick off the season. 0 points scored?
I don't agree. I don't disagree. I had him in my you can't win a Super Bowl with him category. But as far as Dak goes, I think the situation, they can win a Super Bowl. Him as a standalone player, I don't buy him as a guy who elevates a team to a Super Bowl if we're just looking at these players individually.
No, but, okay, real quick, just off the top of your head without breaking it down, is he a top 10 to 14 quarterback?
It's probably in that 10 to 14 range.
That's exactly right. I got him somewhere around 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Fine. So Dak Prescott is good enough with the talent around him. Dude, they've got absolute dudes. CeeDee Lamb was a first-round wide receiver. Michael Gallup's a great player that has emerged for them.
I don't disagree.
Michael Parsons, I mentioned, top 4 edge rusher in the National Football League. Zach Martin's going to Canton eventually. They've got players around him. They've got good enough talent. He just has to not screw it up.
So we'll both say Stafford, despite being on both of our lists, the Rams cannot win a Super Bowl. That gives us 11 that we agree on. Because yeah. I'll give you Prescott. It was originally 10.
Yeah, that's fine.
The situation. So,
but I have Stafford on there because he's already won, and
yes.
I believe if Stafford went to the Jets, they become the favorite in the AFC.
All right. We got some information out of that exercise. Mostly that Amal Shaw wants to be a Dallas Cowboy more than anything. We'll talk about week 2 in the NFL. Evan Washburn, CBS Sports on the other side. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SHARP to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code SHARP. The crown is yours. It's Sharp Money. He's Amal Shah. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We're now going to head to the phone lines. Thrilled to bring in our next guest because he rounds out, for my opinion, the most likable crew in all of sports broadcasting right now. He's Evan Washburn. And you see him on the sidelines with Ian Eagle, Charles Davis. You also see him in studio. You see him during March Madness. He's kind of everywhere, and we appreciate him taking some time to hang out with us on the show today. Evan, first things first, want to ask you about this, because you met with him a few times last year leading up to a few games, I'm sure. Zach Wilson back now as the starter for the Jets. Take us through his psyche, kind of the interviews you've had with him, talking to him. How do you think he's going to handle this second opportunity coming right after the first one?
Well, first of all, good to be with you all, and I appreciate those kind words. I agree. There's some good guys upstairs, and we try and hopefully project that on Sunday, so glad it translates. As for Zach Wilson, look, I mean, last year it was clear that it started to snowball on him, and I think at times when we would meet with him, you could tell he was doing his best to project confidence and try and block out all that outside noise. And then eventually it just became too much, and it wasn't just noise. It was the reality of his play and his lack thereof in a lot of ways. I think from what I can tell from a distance, didn't spend any time with him during my training camp visit to New York this offseason. But obviously from what we can see, he really benefited from being able to take a step back and learn from Aaron Rodgers, see how he operates. But to think that there's going to be this massive shift in a different direction after basically 6 months of it, I don't know. I think that's a tall order. But look, because this team is so built to win now, you hope there's some improvement based off of an offseason where he got to be in the room there with a legend.
Evan, you were in Cleveland last week and you saw two great quarterbacks. Neither of them look great. Give us your assessment on what you think Deshaun Watson can be for the Browns and how impactful he can be. And then one other thing, just tell me, how good is Nick Chubb from the sidelines?
He's scary from the sidelines. He's so big. He's so powerful. I can't imagine trying to tackle him. And that's speaking for guys that are of, you know, requisite size and speed and strength to do so. He makes them look small in a lot of ways. Look, I would say Deshaun doesn't need to be, I know there's been a lot of discussion and I've been part of it, of is he going to return to that MVP caliber quarterback? I don't think he needs to be that from what I saw from that defense. If he's just a serviceable, I would say a, you know, top 15 caliber quarterback and makes plays when he needs to with his legs and doesn't make mistakes, that defense, to me, looks like he could be special this year with those edge rushers and what they have in the secondary and Jim Schwartz dialing up. So, look, I think Deshaun, the ceiling is high because we've seen it. But as long as the floor is high, I think the Browns could have a great year.
And what about, like, mentality for him? Because I think, you know, everything, we all know what went on with him, you know, over a year ago, plays a few games last season, and now he's got a full season with Cleveland. Did he seem like he was more comfortable to you when you talked with him? And also part two, at what point leading up to last week's game did you realize, oh no, I need more rain gear?
Great question. I'll get to that one in a second. Deshaun, when it comes to the football side of things, is in a completely different place, and that's based off of an offseason where he, along with Alex Van Pelt, offensive coordinator and head coach Kevin Stefanski, the play caller, completely redesigned the offense to tailor it to Deshaun's strengths. So when he came in after the suspension, he took over for Jacoby Brissett, and they were running an offense for Jacoby Brissett and one that Stefanski and Van Pelt built for Jacoby Brissett, and Deshaun was, as he put it to us, feeling like he just jumped off a boat in the middle of the ocean. And so he was drowning in a lot of ways. And after the offseason, he's much more confident. And look, he wasn't a Pro Bowler in that game on Sunday. He made some mistakes, and he's still holding onto the ball a lot. But that's kind of what he does. But yes, he, in a football sense, is in a much different place. And I think that will grow throughout the season. As for the rain, man, I've been doing this now 10 years, and that caught me off guard, and I was miserable in a lot of ways. Because when you know it's coming, whether it's heat, whether it's cold, whether it's rain, you're geared up for it mentally, and you also have all your equipment. I hadn't brought it all with me because it was week one. Every forecast just said cloudy. So I'm like, all right, we're good. And man, were they wrong, and it was rough. I was borrowing Charles Davis's raincoat, and he's twice my size in a lot of ways. It was a bad day, but I'm glad it didn't translate. I ripped my blazer somehow, maybe too many push-ups this offseason. I'm not sure. We got through it, and we had some fun along the way. But man, I feel like I didn't dry out till yesterday.
In fairness, I mean, it's week one. It's early September in Cleveland. Like, you're not anticipating the bad weather yet. But, I mean, that weather did lead to some odd statistics. We'll go to the other sideline. Joe Burrow, you think he looked healthy enough for you? Like, do you think he's 100%?
I don't know about 100%. He was pretty candid with us when we spoke with him that he's still having to do maintenance on this calf, and he took a beating in that game. So if he was 100% on snap one, he was not by the midpoint of that game, because he was getting introduced to Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith and that whole crew up front. The conditions, I think, really impacted. But look, they impacted both teams. I don't think Deshaun wasn't clean in a lot of ways, and they had some ball security issues. The Browns with a fumble. I think the conditions impacted Joe, and just the timing was off. And look, you guys, I'm sure, have covered this ad nauseum. He's been in this position before, missing all of training camp. Last year was the appendectomy, and they didn't look good in week one against Pittsburgh, and they lost in week two to Dallas. And I think they've built a mentality where they know that they can claw back from these slow starts. It really just felt in a lot of ways like a quarterback that had not had a lot of time on the practice field. And I think it was just an unfortunate circumstance. Not really, because the bank account's going to be there tomorrow and for a long time, but he just signed the richest contract and had his worst game.
Evan, you guys have the Chiefs and Jaguars on Sunday. Kind of take us through what you expect from Kansas City. In your estimation, you expect Kelce to play? And how impactful can Chris Jones be now in his first game back?
I mean, I hope Kelce plays. I haven't seen the injury report come out yet. I'm kind of standing by just to kind of make my way through the week of prep. My hope is that he plays. It feels like it's trending in that direction, just because he was close in some ways, I guess, for that Thursday nighter, and he's had 10 days or would have had 10 days now to get ready for this one. They need him. That was so apparent. I mean, you felt like when Mahomes was looking for somebody, he was almost screaming, where's 87, metaphorically speaking, and he wasn't there. So I think they need him. And as for Chris Jones, look, unlike Joe Burrow, I don't think Chris Jones needs a lot of prep to be able to be a guy that creates havoc in a game. Now, will he play every snap? Could he be at that level? It's going to be hot in Jacksonville in the 90s, probably. I think that's where you could see his role be a little different as they work him back in. But when he's in there with his size, with his explosive nature, and look, I'm sure he's been doing some work in the offseason, I think he'll still make an impact in this game.
About 90 seconds here, Evan. The other sideline, you got the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, a different player since Doug Peterson took over a year ago. What's your sense of them and their chances to potentially upset Kansas City as a home dog for Jacksonville?
I love this team. I think they're poised to not just be what was like kind of a cool story at the end of last year, making that run. I think they're built to be successful in a winnable division. And this is a huge test for them. And Kansas City may look a little wounded right now. Kelce in question, not reliable pass catchers. This is an opportunity for Jacksonville to cement themselves early in the season as a team that's for real. And they have so many weapons offensively that concern you. And they can go toe-to-toe with Kansas City, or old-school Kansas City, if you will, a team that likes to play in the 30s. So I can't wait for this one. I think it's going to be an incredibly entertaining game.
Well, you can catch him on the sidelines, CBS this weekend, Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, and our guy Evan Washburn there. Great insight. Hey, man, thanks for doing this today. Would love to do it again down the road. Safe travels to Jacksonville, and we'll be watching.
Yeah, I'm bringing my rain gear, even if it says sunny and 70.
Might as well bring the snow gear at this point. Just bring it all. Thanks, Evan. I know you're high on that broadcast crew, too, though.
Oh, well, you know, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis, I love those guys. They're outstanding. Evan Washburn does a tremendous job. Former collegiate lacrosse player at Delaware. Done a great job on the sidelines. He mentioned it. I didn't realize he's already been there a decade.
Yeah, I hadn't processed that. But then again, like, I still think 1992 was 10 years ago.
People were like me. I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, 2010? What's that, like 5 years ago?
A guy living in 92, Mike Palm. He's up next.